Welcome, everyone, to the PFF Fantasy Podcast. I'm your host, John Macri, Fantasy Analyst here at PFF. And the whole fam damily is back in the house for another rookie mock draft. Last week, we did a live Superflex rookie draft. And this week, we're going to look at 1QB leagues to see how things kind of shake out there. So like I alluded to, I'm not alone. Joining me, once again, the brilliant minds of the PFF Fantasy team, which includes Kate Majuk, Nathan Yonke, and Nick Botterford. Folks, welcome back. You ready for another rookie draft, Nate?
Yes, I am ready, excited to do. I am in more single quarterback leagues and super flex leagues in Dynasty right now, so I had a couple more of those, so I feel like I'm more prepared for this one, but I feel like last one went well too, so this one should be even better.
Beautiful. Nice. Yeah, Nick, how you feeling after last week's super flex draft? You prefer super flex or 1QB for yourself?
Yeah, I prefer Superflex for Dynasty, and I'm excited for this one. I haven't done a whole lot of single QB Dynasty content, so looking forward to diving in. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. I'm excited for sure. Yeah, this is always fun to do. Kate, I know, you know, we've covered these rookies a ton already on the podcast. With more time removed here from the NFL draft, how are you feeling about how these rookie drafts have kind of shaken out a little bit? Still seeing things kind of all over the place?
Everything is all over the map. And I'm going to be honest, I love it that way. I have so enjoyed this rookie season. I said this on our last podcast on our Superflex PPR mock draft. The ADP like is absolutely meaningless in a lot of these situations, because I think we have a lot of very closely tiered assets. And I think even for, you know, like some of the top end assets, like a Malik Nabers, a Rome Odunze, like there's still some interesting conversations being had in, I don't know. I love the chaos, and I couldn't resist. I had to come back for more this time in a single QB format.
Absolutely, right? Like that's the thing with these rookie drafts. Like I mean, if you're expecting it to be chalk all the way through, I think you got to be on your toes, because look, there's only four of us here, and we went a little, we varied from you know the ADP and everything like that quite a bit as well. I mean, you get 12 people together in a rookie draft, there's going to be changes every single time. So this will be fun to see how the four of us draft these for these 12 teams here across at least three rounds. I think we're hoping, you know, aspirations for four to five, depending on time. But, you know, we only got through the two in our hour last week, but we're going to be aiming to be a bit quicker here so we could get some more names on the board. Like we've said, we're using just a 1QB format as our template for this draft. If you do want the Superflex version, we did that last week. You could go back and listen to that now. We also have Nate and I's Superflex rookie rankings, both up on the sites, as well as the 1QB versions. Kate, Nick, I know you guys have rankings as well. I think up at Fantasy Pros, anywhere else that you have them for people that want to see them?
Up at Fantasy Pros, now live. Just updated this morning. Did some more totally unnecessary tinkering, which I can't help myself. This is going to be a really long off season. Every time we get a hype clip, I'm going to have to do a little scooching. But yeah, freshly updated over on Fantasy Pros. Check them out.
Yeah. How about you, Nick? Yep.
Same here. Just hit publish.
Beautiful. Yeah. It's rankings. I keep saying, like, I always say this to people, like rankings are so hard. Like I just feel like I constantly want to tinker and move things around. Like, you know, at some point you have to hit publish, or you got to put them out there. But like, I just want to keep constantly going back in and changing things. And you never know, I might vary from my rankings a little bit here today as well. So we'll get into it. We do have our draft order a little bit changed from last time, but it's going to be snake order once again. But Nick, you have the 101. I have 102. Kate has 103 and Nate has 104. And then we'll snake from there and hopefully hit the three rounds that we're aiming for today, potentially more. But 101 is officially on the clock. Nick, who are you looking at here with the first overall pick?
I'm just going to play it safely and go with wide receiver, Arizona Cardinals wide receiver, Marvin Harrison Jr. Perfect pairing with Kyler Murray as a boundary player. He can be a target hog in year one. So I think you can get at least like wide receiver three production from him. And we don't have really any concerns about him as a long-term prospect. So Marvin Harrison Jr. for me.
Yep, makes perfect sense. For me, I'm going to keep it fairly chalk as well. I'm going to go Malik Nabers, wide receiver for the New York Giants. I ended up with him last week in the Superflex draft as well, with the two quarterbacks going ahead of him. But like, I don't have concerns for Malik Nabers with the quarterback situation. I'm kind of looking at him, you know, as similarly to Garrett Wilson in his rookie year, right? 1,100 receiving yards that he put up with, I would say, arguably a worse quarterback situation, depending on if Daniel Jones gets back in there. So I have no concerns with Malik Nabers, who I would argue is a slightly better prospect than Garrett Wilson as well. So yeah, that's where I'm going for 102, which puts Kate on the clock here for 103.
I'm just gonna kind of keep the chalk train rolling. I'm gonna go with Rome Odunze, who kind of saw that little bit of draft stock fall after landing with the Chicago Bears. But I think long term, the pairing with Caleb Williams, with the talent, he does all the little things right. I think he's just such an easy smash pick. I still wouldn't be surprised, even with the plethora of talent between DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, I still wouldn't be surprised if he ended up leading the team in receiving. And that's just how confident I am in the skill set of Rome and what he brings to the offense as, again, just one of the most pro-ready receivers over the last couple of years.
Yeah, this is these top three here. You know, I think this is, again, this is going to be about as chalky as we get here, Nate. You got the 104 and 105, so you got back-to-back picks. But this is usually where we start to see at least a little bit of variance within at least the first round. So where are you going here with the next two picks?
Yeah, I've got my Max Crosby jersey on in preparation for my first pick, going with Brock Bowers. Best graded tight end that we've seen since we've started doing college football grading. So happy to have him. He's pretty well the consensus fourth person, but looking at ADPs, it's very close with him and Caleb Williams and Xavier Worthy. I will start to throw a wrench into things with the fifth pick, though. I'm going to go with Brian Thomas Jr. He's the fifth person on my big board. Talked a bit why I liked him last week on the podcast, so I will talk a little bit why I'm not going Caleb Williams. And it's simply there's too many good quarterbacks in the NFL now. So in single quarterback leagues, if the quarterbacks are well spread out, then every team should have a quarterback they like. Obviously, there will be teams that are hoarding some of the good quarterbacks, so there will be some quarterback needy teams here and there. But just in general, on the average team that I have, I'm more looking for more depth at wide receiver, especially at this point of the draft, more so than a quarterback that I might not be starting that much because I have another one that I am perfectly happy with and should hopefully be happy with for a number of years, since so many of the quarterbacks in the league right now are about 28 or younger. So you'll be happy with them for at least the next couple of years.
Yeah, no, I think that makes perfect sense there. So yeah, we got 106 up next, Kate. You got a few options here for sure. Where are you going?
I do. And Nate, you mentioned, you know, the plethora of talent at quarterback. I picked Caleb Williams 101 in our super flex drafts. I'm going to go back to the well at 106 here. And I'm going to be honest, this is actually probably the earliest that I've drafted a quarterback in a non-super flex format in any of the years that I have played Dynasty. I think, again, year one, you probably don't, I can't really remember a season where the number one overall pick has walked into such a luxurious situation when it comes to pass catchers. It's not just Rome. It's not just Keenan Allen. It's not just DJ Moore. It's Cole Kmet. It's Gerald Everett. They bolstered that offensive line. We're talking about a generational prospect in terms of arm talent, improvisation. I think he's got the right set of skill position players to help maximize that skill set. I think we're going to see a lot of fantasy points scored by the Chicago Bears year one. I love Caleb Williams. And it, again, not afraid of this early investment, because for me, when I'm looking at the wide receivers at this point, I think there's a bit of a tier break. And it feels a little bit early at the 106 to lean running back, which I have a feeling. Are we going to see a running back come off the board next? Is it time?
You know what? It's definitely in consideration for me, just because I like the upside for at least the top two running backs long term for Dynasty. But I really like Xavier Worthy as well with Kansas City. So I think that's where I'm going to go here at 107. I feel like I got Xavier Worthy last time we did this as well in the Superflex draft. So maybe ending up with a little too many Xavier Worthy shares here. But again, just love his fit in the Kansas City offense with Patrick Mahomes. Obviously, the 4-2-1 speed is a big factor here. But just as far as what they do, being able to get the ball to him underneath, potentially serve as a deep threat for Mahomes as well on a consistent basis. And then Rashee Rice obviously not being able to keep himself out of trouble, it seems. So there's definitely potential suspension looming there, which opens up some more targets for Xavier Worthy in year one.
I do have a question for all of you guys. How much, if at all, does the Rashee Rice situation play into where you're willing to draft Xavier Worthy in rookie draft? It doesn't affect it overall that much for me, because I think they're just, their play style and the role they play in the offense is very different. But I think with the second Rashee Rice incident now looming, and again, rookie draft still in full swing, I think that's a question that a lot of people are going to have to answer, is how much do they weigh Rashee Rice when making this Xavier Worthy evaluation?
Yeah, it's a good question. Like, it doesn't, it, like you said, it probably doesn't move him too much for me. Like, I had Xavier Worthy fairly high here coming out of the draft. Like, I have him as wide receiver 4 already, because I like the fit and the opportunity there in Kansas City. But I can definitely see him moving up even further now for people. I've seen him taking over Romo Dunze as well. Again, people, you know, falling in love with just the overall year one opportunity. I think Ladd McConkey's in that conversation as well. So, yeah, for me, probably doesn't move too much, but I'll let somebody else weigh in as well.
Yeah, I'll add, I don't think I've moved him at all in dynasty formats, but I have moved both the wide receivers up decently significantly in redraft formats.
Nice. All right, so we are at 108 here now, Nick. We left a few players on the board for you. I know you were a Ladd McConkey fan last time. Is that where you are going back to here at 108?
Yeah, we'll get to Ladd in a second here. On the Xavier Worthy bit, I think that with the lit kitchen incident, I think Rashee Rice was already looking at a multi-game suspension, and now I'm going to be surprised if he comes back, I don't know, before, like, probably Halloween I think Xavier Worthy is going to have 8 weeks or more to establish himself as the number two wide receiver there. And that's an awesome opportunity. I am still worried about some of his reception or catching issues, but the opportunity is now significantly increased, I think. So he's definitely inching up the board for me. With this pick, though, I'm going to go Jaden Daniels. His rushing ability is electric. The landing spot with Cliff Kingsbury is really exciting. I feel like I picked him last time at number three. So I went in depth there on, you know, his class leading yards per carry, all that kind of stuff. I think that he will have top 6 weeks in year one. Will he be there consistently? Probably not. But the dual threat skill set and the landing spot are tantalizing for fantasy purposes. Now I'm back on the clock here at 109. Is that right? Yeah. Yep. So now we're going to go Los Angeles Chargers wide receiver, Ladd McConkey. McConkey probably won't, in terms of like yards per reception, I think that he'll be behind Marvin Harrison, but I think that he will challenge Marvin Harrison for year one reception total. I think that he can lead the class in receptions. He also couldn't. He can fail. So I'm not trying to be act like I know exactly what's going to happen here. But I think that his skill set, he can win downfield. He can do things in the short area, and this wide receiver room is wide open. I'm very excited about Ladd McConkey here at 109.
Yeah, no, I love the fit there for McConkey as well. just a nice fit in that Los Angeles offense and a nice target out of the slot there for Justin Herbert as well. Justin Herbert since 2021 has earned a 92.2 passing grade targeting the slot, which is the third best among qualifying quarterbacks over that span as well. So a nice connection there, hopefully. And for me now at 110, I think this is where I am going to take our first running back off the board. And I'm going to go with Jonathan Brooks. I know, you know, coming off the ACL year one, probably not as glamorous of an opportunity here, which I don't think is really there for most of the, or pretty much all the running backs here in this draft. But I like the long-term potential here for Jonathan Brooks, still very young, I think 21 years of age. I know the team also brought in Rashad Penny, so there's just more competition there for these running backs, specifically Brooks now in Carolina with also Chuba Hubbard and Miles Sanders there. But again, not drafting him necessarily for this year, but I think just for long-term potential, I really like Jonathan Brooks there in Carolina. Kate, you are back up at 111.
Dang it, you're going to make me repeat another pick, and I'm going to have to go with Trey Benson, who, I'm going to be honest, I could continue to talk. I could give you reasons why either he or Jonathan Brooks are going to be the top running backs in this class and most productive. I'm just so enamored with Trey Benson's landing spot with the Arizona Cardinals. Looking at the offense, I mean, we saw how productive James Conner could be despite, a substantial workload over the course of his career, despite the fact that he is on the wrong side of the tracks here in terms of his age. Despite the lack of passing options to be a true threat, James Conner was one of the best running backs in the NFL last year. And I do think Trey Benson offers a much different skill set that, like, you know, in terms of speed and elusiveness that, like, James Conner, that's not necessarily his game. He could carve out a role in year one. And I do think that generally speaking, like, whether that role comes as, you know, an ancillary asset to James Conner or whether he walks in and, you know, takes advantage of maybe an injury situation, knock on wood for James Conner, I just think this upside with a rushing quarterback, with, you know, Marvin Harrison Jr. added to the offense, Trey McBride, I just, like, how am I supposed to not pull the trigger here on Trey Benson at the 111? I can't not.
Yeah, I'm with you. I love that spot for him as well. That's definitely would have been the next player on my list as well. So, Nate, for you, 112, what are you thinking here with these now the top two running backs off the board? Anybody that stands out for you here with the next pick?
I think the first one is decently easy for me, getting Keon Coleman from the Bills with my next pick. Obviously going with Josh Allen, he should be the top outside receiver. They lost four of their five wide receivers from last season, and the wide receivers that they do have on the roster mostly are good in the slot and not as good out wide. So I think Coleman should be the top outside option for one of the best quarterbacks in the league. I think ADP consensus, he's the top guy. He's the top guy on my list. And I think the top guy or one of the top two or three guys on all of our list at this point of the draft. So that one was easy. The next one, I don't think it's quite as easy, but I think I will go with Ricky Pearsall from the 49ers, the late first round pick there. I'm not too excited about him this year since it sounds like they won't be trading either of their top wide receivers, but they do have a lot of salary cap issues next year. It'll be hard for them to keep all of their great skill players on offense. Christian McCaffrey, George Kittle, both relatively old for their position. So while it's not this year, it should be within the next couple of years that he's a pretty big part of the 49ers offense.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there for sure. Yeah, I feel like fairly chalky so far, as far as at least players that are going to go within this range in, you know, maybe slightly different order as far as ADP goes. But where are you at, Kate, with now that you're up here at 202?
This is tough. This is like honestly kind of where things break a little bit for me in terms of trying to figure out what values I like. I think there are a lot of different directions you can go. And I'm going to be honest, I'm not totally crazy about any of them. I think all of these options are in this range, you know, big time question marks with their respective offenses. I'm going to go ahead and pull the trigger on Xavier Legette, first round wide receiver for the Carolina Panthers, who, you know, definitely a questionable profile in general, given his fifth year breakout, but has that draft capital. I think this offense is in a much better position to be successful this year as opposed to last with the investments in the offensive line. More talent, you know, in terms of the acquisition of Deontay Johnson. Like, I do think this offense is going to open up quite a bit. And Xavier Legette, there were, you know, I think plenty of circumstances that, you know, perpetuated that breakout, but that late breakout. But all things considered, it was a fan freaking-tastic breakout. Like, maybe I'm crazy, but I'll take the shot on that combination of size, speed, and athleticism and the opportunity to potentially, you know, be that wide receiver one that the Panthers are looking for.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that's the exact range for him, right? Like, it's going to be end of the first, early second, which, again, what basically what it was in the NFL draft. And for me, like, that whole kind of like 112 to early second range, like, this is like, I feel like a good spot to potentially trade out of for me personally, right? Like, I don't know how you guys feel, but like, if I'm sitting there and you know, Keon Coleman, Ricky Pearsall, and Xavier Legette are on the board, like, two first round wide receivers, an early second round wide receiver, like, people might, you know, fall in love with that. That's kind of a spot for me where I'm looking to kind of trade back, or if I can do it, you know, preemptively and trade up to try to get one of those other guys that I like a little bit more, then that's an option too. But typically been a spot where I've been looking to kind of trade out of, just because of, again, some of the profiles questionable for this range. So yeah, I'll be curious what you guys think. Any area in this draft, like, are you happy sitting there? Are you looking to trade as well? Anybody feel differently?
I think this is a perfect spot to trade out of. I think this is a little bit of a dead zone. I think in this spot, you're kind of drafting based on like NFL draft capital invested and not necessarily based on a perfect analytical profile, a perfect film evaluation. I think, and I hate drafting like that. So if I can trade back to like the back half of the second round, that's when you kind of get into this sleeper territory where you don't feel handcuffed to, you know, draft a player just because they have the draft capital, et cetera.
Yeah. I wrote the trade value chart for last Friday and compared it to the one I did before the draft and found like where the ranges and value changed with the draft, and like the late parts of the first round are a bit more valuable based on how things went. So I'd also be looking to trade up here to get one of those top 12 or 13 picks, because like we were saying, like, that's where the consensus is, that's where all the players, we don't know what order they'll be picked, but we know who those 12 to 13 players are, and then after that it's all over the place. So if I can get another one of those picks, I'd be happy, but especially like end of that or fourth, fifth, sixth pick around where I had, that's also a range where I'd be perfectly happy to trade back, because a lot of us are getting the same people that we got last week because we all like our people and we're able to get them even though we're all drafting in different spots. So just remember, you probably don't have to trade up as much this year compared to other years to get your player. Unless you really want Marvin Harrison or Malik Nabers, then you definitely have to trade up to get.
Yeah, no, it makes perfect sense. And yeah, one of the players that if I were trading back out of this, you know, out of that end of the first round, early second, I'm going to use my rankings here and pick the next player that I took last time as well. It's Jermaine Burton of the Cincinnati Bengals. Again, there's definitely some red flags there as far as, you know, kind of off-field stuff, but talent-wise on the field with the potential to emerge if T. Higgins does move on. It sounds like still that, you know, that could be the plan beyond this year. We'll see what happened there, but I think that, you know, the opportunity there in Cincinnati tied to Joe Burrow is what makes him most interesting to me, along with the talent. I like the profile a little bit better than guys like Xavier Legette and Keon Coleman, for example. So that's an area where I'd be looking to potentially trade back and take a Burton, but I'll reach up a little bit and grab him here. So Nick, that leaves a few options, more options on the board for you here. Where are you going?
Yeah, so if viewers want to skip back like 20 seconds, they can see the pain as you stabbed my heart by taking Jermaine Burton. Okay, so Burton, he's an exciting prospect. He could be the number two guy there by the end of the year. But moving on to my pick, I'm going to do a similar thing here. I'm going to go quarterback first, take Drake May. He is not the same type of dynamic rusher that Jaden Daniels is, but he is very good at picking up the first down when it's within his sights. And a lot of dynasty leagues now are rewarding points for first downs gained. So mm-hmm. that's something to keep in mind there. He likes to scramble when he sees the opportunity. And I really like the way that they invested in the receiving core. I don't know if, you know, Baker and Polk are going to work out, but I like what the New England front office is doing. With this next pick here, I'm going to go Miami Dolphins running back Jalen Wright. If you go look at his production year by year, which I have done in a couple of my recent pieces, his numbers are a little cartoonish. He kind of struggled. I think he was a natural gap runner. Took him a little bit to figure out zone, but once he did, I think he finished with like 8 yards per carry last year. And then he also did well in the stable metrics. But anyway, this guy, Jalen Wright, I think in rookie season is going to have, he's going to be the rare number three running back who actually gets cycled in. It might take a couple of weeks, but Miami has Super Bowl aspirations. Raheem Mostert is still a very capable player, but his injury list is extraordinarily long. Devon Achane, the dude can tilt the field, but you know, grade two MCL sprain that he aggravated upon his return last year. We all know he's tiny. Jalen Wright, he has a very wide range of outcomes year one. Year two, though, I think he's going to be like a 10-touch player. You can just book it in the Miami Dolphins offense. So I'm very excited about Jalen Wright. Happy to get him here with the 2.05.
I like it. So I got 206 here. And again, this is a tricky range here. If I took Jermaine Burton from Nick, Kate, I'm sorry to do this. I'm going to take Roman Wilson here at 206.
Because why aren't you? Of course you are.
I have to do it. I really like Roman Wilson. I like his opportunity in this Pittsburgh offense. I think he could be a really nice and reliable target for a Russell Wilson or Justin Fields, however that shakes out. It feels like Russell Wilson, but we like the profile for Roman Wilson coming out, and I think that sticks here as a potential player that, you know, could play in the slot. He could play outside, do a lot of things and get open. So That's the reason for Roman Wilson there in the middle of the second round here for me. Kate, now you're up.
All right, since you took my guy, I'm gonna sling it right back. Okay.
Oh no.
Troy Franklin, welcome to the squad. I have been more than skeptical about Troy Franklin. I've talked about the fact that, you know, he offers this combination of speed and length, not necessarily a strong player that has a lot of strength at the point of catch, which is something that I think he needs to work on at the next level. Not necessarily the most nuanced route runner. Like there's a lot of reasons why I think he fell to round four, despite a very productive, you know, season with, you know, Bo Nix, who I don't know, happens to be a starting quarterback now. The more I think about this situation and the more I think about the potential for his immediate breakout, despite the questions in his profile, like let's look at the fact that he is a familiar target for Bo Nix, who I think barring any circumstances and health is the unquestionable starter for the Denver Broncos. Then you have the fact that they traded away Jerry Jeudy. They have Marvin Mims who, you know, despite Sean Payton loving him, they didn't make a concerted effort to get the ball in his hands all that often last year. And then you have Cortland Sutton who wants a new contract. Like let's think of all these like initial reps that they're getting in like rookie minicamp and OTAs, like who's Bo Nix going to be throwing to and continuing to build that rapport with. it's going to be Troy Franklin. Like, he might have 100 plus targets this season.
Yeah, this, I was really hoping that Troy Franklin would come back to me. I think I need to move him up in my rankings because I keep missing on Troy Franklin because he goes all over the place and I keep misreading of where he's going to go in draft. So I'm starting to get pretty annoyed by that. So I'm going to start moving Troy Franklin up in my rankings so I could get more shares of him because I'm with you, Kate. I love all the reasons you just said. So, yeah, this should be a nice fit there for Franklin. So, Nate, you are now up here at 208.
I'll start with the guy I got last week again, Adonai Mitchell, Indianapolis Colts. We had him ranked very highly heading into the draft in terms of just wide receiver talent. And I think Indianapolis is a team where he should be able to start in two wide receiver sets pretty much immediately. So getting an every down wide receiver picked in the second round this late, second round of the NFL draft, getting him this late in the second round of a rookie draft. Happy with that kind of value. And then my second pick, I will go J.J. McCarthy with the Vikings, a quarterback that was picked fairly high, and I think he has a chance to do really well in his rookie season, having Justin Jefferson to throw to and the rest of the talent that Minnesota has. Hopefully T.J. Hockenson is able to be fully healthy early on in the season. So I think he has an immediate impact on Minnesota, and even though he might not be as good of an option long-term as some of the other quarterbacks, I think getting him this late is another value that I'm happy with. I think he's pretty consistently going middle-ish second round in drafts.
Yeah, no, that makes sense for me. Love the weapons there for J.J. McCarthy as well, so that he can kind of hit the ground running, hopefully, in the NFL. So nice pick there. Kate, you are back up on the clock here at 210.
That would have been my J.J. McCarthy range. So that is super frustrating because I do think, like, year one, he is somebody that's going to come out and post some pretty immediate production with the group of receivers that they have in tow. I'm going to go ahead and take a shot on a running back who I really like. I'm not loving the situation, but let's roll with Blake Corum, who, you know, ideal, you know, offensive scheme. Obviously, he's going to have to compete with reps for Kyren Williams, which I still think it's Kyren's, you know, 70% of snaps, I think, are going to Kyren Williams. I think Blake Corum is competing for more of that complementary role. But the thing is, if Kyren Williams goes down to injury, I think Blake Corum is more than capable of functioning as the RB1 in a Sean Payton offense. I'll take the swing on the upside here for Corum.
Yep, that would have been my pick here as
well. I love pick sniping. Let's go.
Yeah. It doesn't feel so good on this end. This feels like another range for me that I'm going to be looking to trade out of. I also have a lot of IDP drafts, so this will be a range where I would start taking some IDPs as well. As much as I'm not like in love with Jalen Polk as a player, as a prospect, I am going to take him here, 37th overall pick in the NFL draft. And I think there's potential for him to mesh with Drake May in that offense, being, you know, he's going to have every opportunity to be their top receiving target. Not to give anything away later, like, I would definitely prefer Javon Baker at ADP. I like his profile a lot more, and I think he has just as good of a chance. But I'm going to try to stick with some relatively chalky ADP here and go Jalen Polk. I've set myself up for a future disappointment if somebody takes Javon Baker, but
I do think Polk, though, like, if we're grading out, and this kind of depends on, like, maybe your style of drafting, what you're looking for to complement the team you have in place, I do think from, like, an upside standpoint, yeah, I really like Javon Baker. I think his profile is a lot more exciting to me. Polk, I could see just kind of being like a perennial 1,000 yard, 6 touchdown dude. And, like, I think he could have a fairly safe floor, especially if he becomes this primary target in the offense for Drake May. I'd rather chase the upside of Baker, but I do think, like, in terms of a floor, Polk might be the safer choice. So I think that's a fine pick.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm with you. I do like the upside of Baker as well. And like, I'm not reaching too high to get Jalen Polk, but I like, if I am going to take him, this is kind of the range where I feel pretty comfortable with him, with guys like Corum off the board and Adonai Mitchells and those guys. So that brings us to Nick to close out the second round here. Nick, who are you looking at?
I'm going to go back to back beefcakes at the RB position. 212, we're going Kimani Vidal, running back, Los Angeles Chargers. It's going to be the team's RB1 by the end of the season. He excels in pass protection. He is a true three down player. J.K. Dobbins, if he can turn things around, that would be really exciting. I cannot imagine that he does so. Gus Edwards, I think he hit 4 career lows last year. PFF rushing grade, yards per carry, missed tackles forced per attempt, yards after contact per attempt. You guys can double check me there, but I think Vidal, Harbaugh is going to make him earn it, but I think Vidal can basically just take over this backfield. Will he have longevity due to the draft capital is a totally fair question, and I don't know the answer to that, but I think by the end of the year, he is leading the backfield in touches per game. With the 3.01, I'm going to go Denver Broncos running back, Adric Estime. His testing, I think, kind of knocked him down a little bit, but it might be one of those things where we're double counting it. So I'm not going to overthink that. Sean Payton likes to have a strong, beefy guy in there to pair with his more agile pass catcher. I think Jaleel McLaughlin might be able to throw a stick in the spokes because he's a talented rusher, but Peyton likes his guys really maybe more so than any coach in the league. He is so particular about so many things. So I think that Estime, again, similar with Vidal, he'll have to earn it, but I think that he can win over that traditional Mark Ingram type role by the end of the year.
So angry you made it.
This is starting to become everybody hates John pick draft here, so but that's okay. I'm gonna try to keep it chalk here, but let's talk about Vidal, because I wrote him up as a sleeper before the draft and now after the draft as well, and there's definitely like a lot of hype around Kimani Vidal to the point where like he's just not gonna be a sleeper for much longer, right? Like Fantasy Pros ADP, he's RB11, but he's moving up like quickly, right? Like Nick just laid out here, there's reasons for that. And now end of the second round, I think a lot of people are going to try to get in on this because there's not like a lot of great year one opportunities for these running backs. I feel like Vidal is going to be a guy that a lot of people just want for that potential for immediate production. So I'm curious where everybody is at with Vidal, because I feel like he's been like one of the most talked about sleeper, I say in quotes, running backs at this point, where a lot of people are making a case for him. And there's definitely a lot to like back-to-back 90 plus rushing grades as well coming out of college. And there's numbers to support him as not just an opportunity back. So where's everybody else thinking about him as far as drafts go?
I mean, I think you look at all of the moves the Chargers have made throughout the entire offseason, and the common denominator is that they want to run the ball. Mm-hmm. And like, that is all they're looking to do here. The pairing of Greg Roman back with Jim Harbaugh, like they did one thing when they were together with the 49ers, they ran the dang ball. Granted, they had Frank Gore, but like they ran the dang ball. You looked at Greg Roman and his time with the Baltimore Ravens, they ran the dang ball. Their offenses, Greg Roman's offenses, have ranked like 28th or lower in terms of total pass attempts in the league in, I think, all but one of his seasons as an offensive coordinator. So I think for the culmination of running backs that they've put into this group, I love J.K. Dobbins, but again, he doesn't even have 300 career rush attempts to his name because he cannot stay healthy. And it's one of the most unfortunate instances of a running back, like what could have been, but it is what it is. You know, Gus Edwards, I like Gus Edwards a lot, but do I think he's a true three down back that really is going to, you know, suddenly emerge as this workhorse running back? I don't think so. I think Vidal, like, all things considered, it, you know, maybe despite that draft capital, like I'm looking at running backs in these rookie drafts as like 1 year, 2 year, 3 year rentals at max. Give me the shot on this new run focused offense.
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense to me. It's just, yeah, like you said, potentially not, you know, the best long-term option, again, because he's a sixth-round pick. We see these guys get replaced right away. But there's definitely guys that come out and produce as sixth-round picks in year one. And I think, yeah, as far as the late picks in this year's draft, Vidal definitely has as good a shot as any here with the Chargers. So I'll make my pick. I'll keep the running back trend going here. I'm going to take Marshawn Lloyd of the Green Bay Packers. Lloyd, to me, look, there's some promising numbers, I think, for him coming out of college. It's not, you know, a perfect profile or anything like that, but 0.33 career missed tackles forced per attempt is a 93rd percentile mark among running backs since 2018 as well. I like, you know, the potential in Green Bay. I know they signed Josh Jacobs to that 4-year deal, which is essentially, it is a shorter deal with outs and things like that, that they can get out of. And Josh Jacobs coming off a year where he was far from what we saw in 2022. And, you know, part of that being on the Raiders, who didn't necessarily have the best offense either. Green Bay is definitely going to have a better offense, I would say. So, you know, 3.5 yards per attempt for Josh Jacobs is a career low in 2023. So this is also an offense that we've seen utilize two running backs. I know they got AJ Dillon in there as well, but he was another guy that wasn't overly effective last year either when he was given the opportunity. So Marshawn Lloyd has the day two draft capital at least to potentially work in there and work out long term. So that's where I'm going to go with 302. So next up is Kate.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and draft a guy who I think I probably reached on way too much in our Superflex draft, but let's go with Malachi Corley, wide receiver for the New York Jets, who I don't know if y'all have been on social media, but boy, they posted this the Jets social media posted this beautiful, slow-mo, gorgeous, tantalizing, you know, clip of Malachi Corley catching like a 1-inch screen, yeah, and turning around. Like, who doesn't love clip season? But you know what Malachi Corley does? Like, he is the yak king for good reason. They utilized their second pick in this year's draft on Malachi Corley, in fact trading up to go get him. And I think wide receiver two in this offense is very much wide open. I think he's going to be a guy that they generate a lot of touches for and just kind of see what happens with him. I could picture him being an immense value, especially in PPR formats where, like, yeah, I think we can probably expect a low average depth of target. I mean, but we saw what Rashee Rice did in this year with a pretty low ADOT. Just thanks to his yards after the catch ability. And I think Malachi Corley could post a similar season, even despite the fact that, yeah, he's playing behind Garrett Wilson, but they are two very different receivers. And I think they will play very different roles in this offense.
Yep. Nope. That makes sense. I like the pick there. So 304 is next, Nate. You got back-to-back picks. Who are you going here?
Yeah, you didn't reach on Corley this time because I would have picked Corley had you not picked Corley. My first one is probably the closest thing that I have to a my guy out of this draft, and that's Bucky Irving, running back for the Buccaneers. Out of the first 10 or so running backs picked, a lot of them ended up in spots where they're not going to have great opportunities immediately, which is why running backs are all over the place. Especially at this point of the draft. But I think Irving going to Tampa Bay last year, every 3 or 4 weeks, they seemed to be changing their mind of who their backup running back was going to be. And just like, okay, we'll try this running back. Okay, that's not working. Let's try someone else. That kind of kept going through that rotation. And really, we haven't seen that great of stuff out of Rashad White. He saw a ton of volume last year, but in terms of PFF grade, he isn't grading nearly as high as a bunch of other starting running backs in the NFL. So I think out of all of the running backs outside of probably Jonathan Brooks, I think Irving has one of the best chances of winning a starting job at some point over the course of the season. And seeing the numbers that we saw out of Rashad White last year, if Irving gets that kind of volume because they decide that he's the better player, then you have a potential top five fantasy asset. And I know that's probably not the most likely scenario that's going to happen this year, but when you can get someone with a top five upside at running back at this point of the draft, I'm happy to take it. So that's my first pick. Next, even though I just went quarterback not that long ago, I will go with Bo Nix for my next pick. Just a lot of the players we're picking now, yeah, we have a lot of high hopes for them, but we're picking guys who are picked in the third or fourth round or even later of the NFL draft. And every year we see running backs or wide receivers who get picked in that range and almost never see an opportunity, where at least Nix, we know he's probably going to be the starter this year. Maybe not starter week one if they want to ease him into things for whatever reason, but at least by some point in the season, we should see him as the starting quarterback. And even though we think he's probably the clear fifth quarterback out of this group, we've seen consensus quarterbacks be wrong in terms of what we think and what the NFL thinks. And we've seen quarterbacks who get picked a little bit later end up doing well. And he was the 12th overall pick in the draft. So getting someone that was picked that highly in the draft, and we'll definitely see opportunities where we might not see opportunities from all these guys, even though at this point we think a lot of the guys we're talking about should see opportunities pretty early on.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I think it makes sense to take him there. Just again, draft capital, the value for potential playing time and fantasy points at this point, you're you know, there's going to be a lot more misses than hits in this situation. But when you're betting on a first round quarterback, I think that's a safer bet here for sure in that third round, and should work out. So, Kate, you are back up at 306. Where do you want to go with this one?
I'm going to pivot in a direction that I don't know that I love, but I think it's in the realm of dart throws. This is a dart that I'm fine throwing. I'm going to go with Tyrone Tracy, running back for the New York Giants, who, he's an old man. I don't usually like drafting old man running backs, but given the circumstances, playing his first five of six seasons at the wide receiver position before changing positions to the running back. I mean, the production he posted in his final season at Purdue, like a 90.5 PFF rushing grade, that ranked 28th among running backs in the NCAA with a minimum of 100 carries, 42% missed forced tackle rate, which is just psychotically absurd. Like, just, I think from an upside perspective, even from a receiving perspective, like, he's got that skill set to his repertoire to kind of round out his rushing potential, which I think is still untapped. That running back room for me is still wide open. And, you know, Tracy definitely has more of that stereotypical kind of running back build, has a little bit more meat on the bones compared to a Devin Singletary. I just think it's an interesting shot. I don't know how good this offense is going to be. I think it's better with Malik Nabers, and yeah, I don't know. Why not?
No, I like it. I wrote Tyrone Tracy up as one of my post-draft sleepers here as well. Like, I like the potential in this offense. Like, this is an offense that did rely a lot on Saquon Barkley as a receiver the past few years. And obviously, like you said, Tyrone Tracy has that receiving upside as well, where Devin Singletary, like, he's seen decent amount of volume as a receiver, but he's never cracked a 65 receiving grade in a single season either. So I think there's room for Tyrone Tracy to kind of work his way in there, potentially starting as a receiving down back. And then, you know, as he gets more experience as a rusher, there's potential there as well. So I like the Tyrone Tracy pick. I'm going to go back to Javon Baker here. So yeah, loading up on New England Patriots wide receivers. When has that never worked? I'm going to put Baker in here. I really like his potential. I like him over Jalen Polk. I want to say, like, I think there's some really fun, you know, metrics to bank on for Jerome Baker or Javon Baker, like dominated against single coverage in college. Like his 5.07 career yards per route run versus single coverage was a 94th percentile mark among prospects. 93.6 receiving grade was 96th percentile. As far as career yards per route run go as well, 2.53, 74th percentile. So these are numbers that are, you know, better than what we got with Jalen Polk as well. And I think, you know, if you're betting on a dark horse to emerge as the wide receiver one in that New England offense, I like Jerome. Javon Baker. Again, have IDP on the mind there, linebacker Jerome Baker. But Javon Baker in New England, I think, is going to be one of my favorites in this year's draft. So that's 307. That brings us to Nick at 308.
Okay, so this one's been difficult for me. These next two picks have been difficult for me to nail down. And I've toyed with a number of different names. It's a little bit of a reach here, but I do think that Washington Commanders slot receiver Luke McCaffrey can find a role in year one. Bit of a spoiler, I guess. There will be an article coming out either today or tomorrow where I discuss must draft rookie wide receivers. What I like about McCaffrey, one, is his skill set. He's excellent over the middle. And two, the situation, the players in Washington who he's going to be competing with don't really have overlapping skill sets with McCaffrey. He's kind of the only guy who can efficiently win in traffic. If we want to talk Zach Ertz, that's fine. I just don't think that an ancient Zach Ertz is that big of a threat, but I could be eating my words here. For now, I will go Luke McCaffrey here. I'm going to stop the slide on the next guy, Atlanta Falcons quarterback Michael Penix Jr. I took him last time, I think, probably six spots earlier than I am right now. I think Penix is a good pocket passing quarterback. His pro day metrics excited me. I think if he can add even just a tiny amount of scrambling to his game, that would be a ton of fun. I don't know why he didn't scramble, and maybe I'm just wish casting there. I understand that. But he is an elite sack avoider, and he has at least decent pass catching core in front of him. Would have been, you know, cooler for Cousins if they'd added a fourth option there. But I think that it is a pretty complete group with London, Pitts, and Mooney. Kirk Cousins, I wish him a good recovery, but if he stumbles at all, I think Penix, his potential value gain from being a third or fourth round pick in a lot of drafts I do think you should hold on to him, but you could turn him around for a first round pick if he gets a start and looks good this year. So going Penix here with this 309.
Yeah, 309. Again, I like the pick. It's similarly to Bo Nix, right? Like maybe doesn't necessarily have that year one opportunity that Bo Nix does, but there should be opportunity down the road here for a first round quarterback with some decent weapons there in Atlanta. So, oh God, this is my last pick here. So I don't know. God, I hate this. I really wanted to try to get Bucky Irving here. Thank you for that, Nate. So you know what? I'll go with Jalen McMillan of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So I believe he was a third round pick in the NFL draft. Again, you know, it's not a perfect profile. I think there's an argument to be made that, you know, McMillan maybe a better wide receiver than Jalen Polk coming out of Washington, but again, falls a little bit further in the draft here as the third Washington wide receiver drafted. So year one opportunity, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, those are the guys there, but they're not obviously going to be there forever in the back halves of their careers. So I like the potential for Jalen McMillan as somebody who could work his way in there in year one as a rotational piece, but then earn a larger role down the road here. So McMillan for me. Kate, you have, I think Kate, yeah. has 311 here. So where are you going with that, with this, your last pick?
I'm going to maybe pivot a little bit. I don't know if this is reaching, but I'm going to go ahead and go with a rookie tight end. This will be our second rookie tight end off the board. I'm going to go with Ben Sinnott of Kansas State, who joins the aforementioned Luke McCaffrey there with the Commanders. And I'm just kind of betting on the draft capital, the elite athleticism, and the immediate opportunity, I think, for targets at the tight end position. I know, again, Zach Ertz, whatever, I'm not even putting him into this equation, but I do think there is something to be said for his receiving ability, potential opportunity, and just, again, kind of betting on that elite athleticism to win out at the position.
I like it. I think that makes sense. All right, Nate, last pick here. We're pretty much at the hour here, so we'll do the three rounds. Where are you going with this this final pick to bring us home?
Yeah, Kate, going with the top player on my board yet again in the third round. So we'll pivot here.
It feels pretty good to be sniping the GOAT, I got to say. It feels good.
I will be going with Ray Davis of the Buffalo Bills, fourth round running back. I mostly just like the opportunity there in Buffalo. They tried with a number of veterans to complement James Cook last year, Latavius Murray, Damian Harris, Leonard Fournette. None of them are back this year. The main competition was Ty Johnson, who has been a receiving back his entire career. Expect him to still have that kind of role in Buffalo this year. So I think Ray Davis has an opportunity to carve out a role in the offense. And we see running backs get hurt all the time. So if James Cook does suffer an injury at any point this year or next year, I think Ray Davis would probably be the guy to get the majority of the workload. So mostly just going with him for a short-term handcuff value with potential long-term value if he ends up doing well.
I like it. So that is going to wrap up our three rounds here. Yeah, we didn't do like a round-by-round recap kind of thing, but I feel like our first round was pretty, you know, close to ADP as far as, you know, where which players are going in that first round. Started to vary a little bit more in the second round, right? And then the third round is kind of where we start to see, you know, get your guy type situation here. So we'll do the same thing as we did last time. We'll go around and maybe get everyone's like favorite pick or favorite value or least favorite pick or something like that. Whatever, however you want to approach it, a certain pick that you want to spotlight here that you made today. So Nick, we'll start with you. Where do you want to go with your either favorite or least favorite or favorite value pick, whatever?
Favorite value pick. I think I'll go unoriginal here. I'll go Ladd McConkey at sure. 109. I think the upside is extremely enticing, and he will thrive if they put him in the slot, but I think that he's going to be an inside outside guy. I think he'll line up. I think he'll take a majority of his snaps on the perimeter, and I'm excited for the guy. If he blows up, you know, if he flops, then I'll have, you know, I can eat a bunch of crow. But Ladd McConkey for me.
Nice. I like it. How about you, Kate?
I'm actually going to go with a pick that is not my own. I'm going to shout out Luke McCaffrey, who was taken at the 308, I think, by Nick. I'm actually going to be highlighting him in an article coming out tomorrow, the next day, on wide receivers, running backs that I think could have a potential impact here in year one. The departure of Curtis Samuel from that offense, I just think there's a very niche role carved out immediately. I'm going to bet on the athleticism. I think for a guy that changed positions from quarterback to wide receiver, he just feels a bit more natural than I guess you would have, you know, expected given that recent transition. And it never hurts to have too many McCaffrey bloodlines on your fantasy team.
Yeah, no, the McCaffreys seem to do well in the NFL. How about you?
When in doubt, draft McCaffrey. I think that's exactly. New hashtag.
Yep. Nate, how about you? Who do you like?
Yep. I think I'll go with Keon Coleman at 112. I think anyone who's picked at 112 is going to be a value in any draft that you're doing, just because, like you were saying, the people that were picked in the first round are the people that we'd expect to get picked in the first round, but the order that they get picked in is going to change every draft that you do. So whoever falls there is definitely worthy of being picked in the first round, and a lot of drafts will get picked earlier than the 112. So happy with the value of Coleman there.
Nice. Yeah, makes sense. For me, I think Marshawn Lloyd in the third round. He was fourth running back taken, I believe, in the NFL draft. He goes as RB7 for us here. I like that value for him. I like the potential. I know, again, year one, not amazing with Josh Jacobs there. I think there's still some growing for Marshawn Lloyd to do before he becomes like a starting NFL running back. But I do like that potential, at least long term. Interestingly, like for Marshawn Lloyd, like, he had one of the biggest splits as far as like rushing grade goes against our running in zone run concepts. He had a 70.7 career rushing grade in zone run concepts, which is the lowest of this class. And then in gap scheme rushing grade, he had a 90.1, which was eighth best in this class. So much better, obviously, in those gap scheme runs. Green Bay was not a very gap scheme heavy run team in 2023. So there's definitely, again, some more growing there, potentially a red flag for Marshawn Lloyd as well. So that there is something to keep in mind, but I do like the value of him as the seventh running back in this draft. So that is pretty much going to do it for us. We got the three rounds out there. Again, I'll put the draft board out on Twitter when we send out the episode link as well. And people could tell us where we were right and most likely where we were wrong. Again, thank you everybody for tuning in and for listening and following along. If you were following on audio or YouTube channel, if you are on the YouTube channel, feel free to like and subscribe to the channel as well. We would greatly appreciate that. But also a huge thank you to our PFF Fantasy team, Nathan Yonke, Kate Montjuke, Nick Botiford. Really appreciate you guys coming on here, doing this 2 weeks in a row, put this draft together. I think it's a very helpful exercise as people continue to work through their rookie drafts here this off season. But before you all go, I want to get words from everybody where they can find more of you and your work. Nick, don't disconnect on us this time. Let everybody know what you got coming up and where they can find more of you.
Yep. So on Twitter, X at Nick Botiford, NFL. NIC only, no K in there. As for my work, you can find it here at PFF and soon at Roto World. So check me out at both spots.
Awesome stuff. How about you, Kate?
Yeah, give me a follow on Twitter X, whatever we're calling it these days, at Kate Majuke. That's MAGDZIUK. Got some interesting content coming out here in PFF. Working on some of the offenses we can expect the most significant jump in terms of fantasy production for this season, as well as some sleeper picks, late round values that could have an immediate year one impact. I already teased Luke McCaffrey, but there's plenty of other names to keep an eye on. So both of those will be coming out this week. So check them out.
Sounds great. Nate, please remind everybody where they could find more of you and your work.
Yeah, PFF _ Nate Yonke on the social medias, and then at PFF last week, I focused a lot on the ranking updates, go 400 players deep in redraft leagues, 300 something in dynasty leagues. So I have articles for a bunch of those, and the formats that I don't have an article form, we do have up in the fantasy tools. Also did a trade value chart last week, and then this week also went over the draft that we did on the podcast a week ago and tried to relate it back to the leagues that you'll be doing and where you'll find values and where you'll see players start to deviate compared to ADP and be all over the place like we had today as well. So hopefully we'll help you out there with your rookie drafts.
Awesome stuff. And then, yeah, for me, at PFF Macri, PFF _ Macri on the Twitter, and then all my work on PFF.com as well. We got the rookie rankings up there for offense, for IDP, combined board. I wrote up sleepers this week. I wrote up seven rookies primed for year one fantasy starter contributions. I did not word that the way that it is in the article. That wouldn't work. And we got more coming up this week as well for IDP stuff. And then as far as the podcast, I'll be back on Friday morning as well, reviewing the rookie linebackers for IDP purposes with Kyle Bellefield from footballguys.com as well. So check that out if you're into the defensive fantasy stuff. But until then, thank you all again for tuning in and for listening. And until next time, peace out.